Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Spilling the G&T Podcast. You're here with Bolo.
And Dr. Tom.
Now we're here to give you the opinion you never really asked for.
But we're giving it anyway.
That's right.
Our ballet is a performer.
And Dr. Tom's a psychiatrist. Mm. And we're here to give you our professional review on RuPaul's Drag Race
Season 6.
So let's raise a glass.
Or a bottle.
And start spilling.
The
podcast. Spilling. Everyone, welcome back to the live review podcast. Season 16. We're getting close to the end. You know how it goes. We watch it in segments live one time and one time only. Tom.
That's it. And then it's never to be watched again. Because, consigned to the dustbin.
Yes, because, you know, we give you our real life reactions, in the moment feelings, you know, just honesty.
Yes.
Honesty, genuineness.
Unfiltered and unsolicited.
Yes. And yet we're a little later than usual. For those that know, it's usually quite immediately. Again, I had a competition. I came third in this one.
Amazing.
And, you know what? It wasn't nice.
It
was nice to be on the podium, but it wasn't nice.
Would you like to elaborate more?
No.
All I can say is I'm very proud of you.
You called us losers. Okay? Tom, you called us losers.
I don't remember calling you a loser.
Yep.
Sorry, that was my Santino impression.
Yeah.
Came across a bit more Adore Delano, actually.
For those that that know the reference, thank you for being long-time listeners and watchers of RuPaul's Drag Race. And for those that don't, you're lucky you have us. That's why we're here. We're here to educate the children, to walk you through nature.
To make obscure season 1 to 3 references whenever we can, really.
Talking about that, we're going to get straight into it. We're going to get right into it. I know that you guys have been, you know, on the edge of your seats. You know, you've been saving that last plate to clean because you wanted to listen to us while you're doing dishes. You've delayed that walk because you wanted us to keep you company.
We won't keep you in suspenders any longer.
Yeah. You've actually called in sick to work because you're like, no, what am I going to listen to on the way to work? The podcast isn't out.
I can't go to work if I can't listen to Spilling the G&T on the way.
Yeah.
So
that's we did get a lovely little review. Give me a quick sec. But while I find it, let's just have a quick chat about the power ranking going into this episode, Tom.
Well,
talk to me about that.
We're in our top four, aren't we? And what a powerful top four they are. So we've got two queens in the Four Winds Club playing Jane and Safira. This is going to become more common, I think, with the longer seasons that we have nowadays. So if you think back to, say, like, you know, Shea Coley and Sharon Needles, they got four wins in relatively short seasons, but now I think we're going to see it more and more with longer seasons. Still fantastic track records for Safira and Plain. Safira's lip synced once, which was last week, you know, the queen that we believe to be invulnerable, a powerhouse, did in fact stumble. So that's a little bit of a blemish on her record there. Plain has never lip synced for her life. However,
she has lip synced for the win.
Who, Plain?
Yes.
Yes, and so Safira actually twice, hasn't she? What you could say about Plain is that she might have been spared during the non-elimination week, but we don't talk about that.
We also need to talk about the win that Safira got that maybe could have gone to Plain Jane.
We don't talk about that. And then we have Nymphia, who has never been in the bottom two. And she has two wins, one of which was in the girl group, and the other was Design Challenge.
Well, if you ask Q, she's got 1.25.
This is very cute.
Very, very cute.
Very cute. She's getting cute. Does she get cute or does she get drop-dead gorgeous?
Oh, she got cute.
You know, No lip syncs for her life there for Nymphia. Q has lip synced for her life, which is why I think she's probably so keen to point out this 0.25 to differentiate herself from Nymphia. But she's got two wins for Design Challenges. So really strong track records here, actually. Minimal amounts of lip syncing, decent amounts of wins.
And also
what,
Q possibly was saved from being sent home because they're lip syncing at the mandatory meeting.
Oh, I mean,
she was saved.
Roll the tapes.
She was saved. She was absolutely saved. Shout out to her. I want to say this wrong. Calwell from the United States of America.
Lovely.
America.
I've heard of that place, actually.
Great show.
I'm aware.
Look at us, Tom. Show. Great show. It reminds me of like Girls Aloud. Nobody's
in. Oh, thank you. We are actually going to see Girls Aloud.
We are going to see Girls Aloud. Tom is a lifelong fan.
Lifelong, yes.
Yes. very soon, Tom, next month. Next month, you'll be seeing the girls.
No, June.
Yeah.
It's April.
God, I thought it was May. Jesus. Speed it up.
The year is just flying by, Barbara.
Great show. Funny guys. Look at me. Unique idea for a recap show. Very enjoyable. Thank you very much, everyone. Just send in your love however you can. We love hearing it.
Lovely review that. Succinct, to the point. Love it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
To the point.
Mm-hmm.
And succinct as well, Tom.
Which is what we're not doing now because we're being really repetitive.
I think that we love it. Yeah. I like to be unique in my words of my own.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't recycle. I'm not that kind of girl.
No.
I'm living for Q because Q is, I don't know if she's reading, I don't think she's reading Q, reading Plain, or she's reading the judges, because she is every fan right now from last week when she says, congratulations, Plain Jay, you know, for the first three girls that are like leotards and then they loved you.
I mean, obviously we're back in the room now, aren't we?
We are.
We're this is so funny. It's just so cute. I think she's been like a vital little bit of spice all season. I mean, we talk about Plain being kind of the villainess of the season, even Dawn being the little mischievous twink that she was. But I think Q has produced some of the most genuine emotion that stirred the pot, actually, as we've gone along, because she does have this striving perfectionistic tendency. And if she doesn't meet her own standards, or if she doesn't feel she receives the praise that she deserves, then it's open season. She lets other girls know. Although, sometimes you would not know because she's so good at concealing her emotions. She'll not hear otherwise.
I don't think she realizes some of the things that she... I wonder if she watches back and goes, oh...
I'd be very interested to know what she thinks watching back.
Her reaction. But I love it because, A, she's also reading the judges. I think she's every single person out there who sees the inconsistencies with makeovers.
Oh.
Every single time. Everyone knows the makeovers is their way of getting rid of a queen.
It's a gatekeeping. That's why it's so late in the season.
I mean, really, Morphine being sent home? I don't know.
We've not really mentioned Morphine, have we? But, you know, we discussed her at length last week. We thought her makeover was very high quality. But they just did not envision her in the top four. It felt quite unfair. I mean, the mug was fantastic. But there we go. Still an incredibly talented top four.
Now, we know they're doing a book interview today. Doing an interview and a book. And Tom, it takes us way back to season two.
Now, there were some amazing titles to which we were introduced in season two. What was your favourite?
I mean, it would have to be a toss between my favourite, Tyra Sanchez, I am the woman in me.
The woman in me.
What's the title of your book? The woman in me. I love this berry acai drink.
Do you remember the name of that book, though?
Which
Dreams
one?
Of a Golden Child by Jessica Wilde.
And then there was Juju B, which was Memoirs of a Geisha.
Fantastic.
Love. And we had Pandora Box.
Out of the Box.
Out of the Box.
Yeah.
And then we had Tatiana from Teen Queen to Superstar.
That's it. Good memory. And Ravens, because she's the one who mentioned the name most and did very well into Young, Broken, Fabulous. My new book, Young, Broken, Fabulous.
This tastes almost as good as my new book, Young, Broken, Fabulous.
So I wonder if the structure of this will be quite similar, because that was very much interview portion, photo shoot, but also the product placement thing, because they had to say Berry Acai as many times as they could. This delicious new, and bless them, some of the girls had such trouble remembering. It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Berry acai.
It rolls off the tongue now, but in that time, that flavor was brand new. It was like berry acai was like something, you know, like, you know, when something new comes up and the gays pick it right up. Like when we found kale and then everything was kale flavor. You know, we kale find flavored. These and there'll be kale, I swear, there'll be kale vodka before you know it.
Oh, that sounds good.
so they find, so I think Birri Acai was the new thing out there for the vodka. And I think they're just like, how do you even say it?
And obviously, absolute image czar, Jeffrey Moran was there to judge that episode. And there were comments like, I would have fired her in the car on the way to the next interview.
I mean, they did have a challenge because they also had not, they had to do the interview to in the dark area to a camera, and it was via satellite. Do you remember?
So there was
no one in front of you. So you had to come up with the energy as though you were talking. They couldn't see. They couldn't see. The girls couldn't see the interview. It was only in post-production that we saw it, and it looked like they could see each other, but the girls couldn't see the interviewer. Mm-hmm. So I think there was an added challenge well. It's an added challenge. So they had to interview to a blank space. They had to promote their book. They had to also put in the promotions for the Birri Acai, and then they had the photo shoot.
And the book was their own concept as well. They literally, obviously didn't write a book, but they had to be able to talk about, I wonder if that's a write, you know, like a blurb that you'd put in the inside cover or on the back of a book or something. Just if they compose something like that, so that they had something to go off in the interview, there needs to be a concept there.
But the first, do you remember the first shirt you bought me?
Yes, I do.
What was it?
It was an image of Jessica Wilde with "I love this drink."
That's what I think of every time I think about it.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, that was the. Where was that shirt?
It's in your wardrobe. I saw it the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, it's faded a bit, unfortunately.
The flattered enough of its giblets for the cat. But the tuna giblets for the cat.
But that was faded. A really fun episode. I think, was it Raven's first win, actually?
I mean, she was professional, mama.
Raven did really well because I think one of Raven's big strengths, apart from, obviously, her aesthetic, is she's very, very good at being like a quippy professional drag queen. She just embodies that really, really well and came across incredibly well in the interview. She's also very smart and remembered all the points to hit upon. People forget what a late surge Raven had in that season. She didn't get any wins until the last few episodes. And she was in the bottom two twice
at the beginning. And they still try to say that Tyra was robbed, that Raven was robbed.
But Tyra was very consistent all season. And we do differ on this, but I think she should have been in the bottom for the Rocker Chicks challenge. Dear Scrooby for my girl, little baby boys and girls.
There are moments where, you know, iconic history is made. Okay? And that is one of them. Girl was backbending. She was singing in a backbend all the way with one hand in the bridge.
Singing.
Yes, and she was like really, she was distorting her body.
She was out of breath.
Tom, you know what? And that you should be when you're working that hard and singing live and dancing and swishing that huge cape, girl.
She swished, she twirled and swirled, mama. Jessica Wilde went home that episode, didn't she? Delightful, charming, lovely Jessica.
Mm. So I think that this is something similar that we're going to see here. I agree with you, but with the power ranking, it is, you know, it's there. It's Plain Jane and it's Safira's game at this point.
Do you feel, I mean, they've got literally, you know, twice as many wins each as the other two girls.
Who was your pick for the win?
I just feel like, and I've said this week on week, I feel like the winner of season 16 is Safira. I think she's been consistent. She's been kind. She's not been the dominant storyline force of the season. That's been Plain Jane. So it still could be Plains. However, putting my production, you know, tinfoil hat on, Safira feels like the winner and Jane feels like, let's bring her back for more TV for an All Stars.
I was just going to say that. I think that's kind of almost a bit better in a way. If there was, you know, if it's taken with the money and the title, like you want more exposure as an entertainer. That's it. And you want it on a platform that is going to, you know, be seen by millions and millions of people. And I feel like maybe that's Plain Jane's agenda.
Yeah.
There's something about Nymphy Win that I feel like it's her time to win. She doesn't have the track record to back it up, but she's been so consistent and so memorable.
I don't want to count Q and Nymphia out because Nymphia, if you'd asked me before midway of the season, I would have had her as more of a contender. I feel like she maybe has lost a little bit of momentum. However, when I think back over the past few episodes, she's actually performed really, really well. I would have given her the makeover win, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And her only real flub, to my mind, was Snatch Game.
Yeah.
So you're right. She's been amazingly consistent and feels like she could have more wins than she's got. Not to discredit Q, I feel like she's the least likely winner here.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely with everything about that.
She's fabulous. Her aesthetic and her visuals are just amazing. And she can be a great comedy queen in the right circumstances. I don't feel she presents as well-rounded a package as the other girls in the top four.
You know, RuPaul is getting these girls to do some crazy things in these mini challenges. Crazy.
Yeah.
I insane.
Mean, yeah.
It's like, have you heard of that degradation, humiliation type
kink?
Kink?
Yeah.
Do you think...
Do I know where you're going with this?
Yeah. Do you think that RuPaul's got a bit of that in her?
I think that's a very shrewd observation. I think it's very, very possible. We're not here to kink shame.
Oh, no.
But
no.
Ironically, she might get off on that.
Yeah. The girls has a lip sync under... When in their life will this happen ever?
This was unusual. This is unusual. It was different. Was it nice?
Was it? It was nice. It was different. It was unusual.
It was different and unusual. I'm not sure it was nice.
The girls had the lip sync in water.
They did. It was an interesting one, wasn't it?
Add that to their list of things that they can do. Tom, yeah,
pop that on the CV.
We didn't really talk about who do we think is going to do well in this episode in regards to a fashion show, in regards to an interview.
A fashion show is in sort of there'll be a photo shoot component, yeah, for the cover. If I'm thinking in terms of the season two challenge, and if it's roughly similar, I think the interview component was kind of the most important. And I think a queen who brings a combination of humor with a bit of insight and charisma will do well. I would see that as Plain or Safira.
Yeah.
As excelling on that. Not saying Nympha and Q will do badly. I just feel like that's very much within the realm of things that Plain and Safira do very, very well.
Mm. I would have said the same.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said that Plain Jane is... I think if there's a girl on the group that is quick, that is witty,
yep,
it's Plain Jane.
Uh-huh.
If there's someone in there that just has this grandiosity and just, I feel charm.
She's warm.
And confident. We're
talking about Safira,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah.
There's a warmth to Safira.
And confidence,
yeah,
it's Safira.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just think that Q, whenever I think about her in anything that is performance or talking to another person, where it is, there is that kind of, you have to put something on.
Yeah.
She puts something on.
I agree. I really do agree.
Yeah. Put something on and it's a bit forced and it's I don't get it.
I think it comes back to her perfectionistic tendencies. I think there's a process for Q where she's like, what should I be delivering in this moment? Which prevents her from actually delivering 100% authenticity at times, I think. My favourite Q moments when I have liked her the most have been when she's just been completely honest with her feelings and has been criticising the other girls and telling them they shouldn't have had a win. Because it's her, it's just authentic and it's honest and it's real.
Exactly. The whole, like, oh, for the first three girls, hey, lizards, and they come to you and they love them. Like, it was real.
It's
real. And I liked it. There wasn't a performance, but she was genuinely like, how funny. Isn't that, oh my God, how hilarious. They hated every leotard except your leotard. Isn't that so funny?
Love RuPaul's sense of humor. And then there's Nymphia. How do you think Nymphia will do here?
Nymphia's our girl that's never done anything. And then we're going to find out later. We're going to find out later that she's actually a talk show host for
BBC. She runs
BBC.
Her own podcast.
She's BBC radio host for Taiwan. She's a radio host. And she's got her own podcast.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to find out about her later. I think she is our... She... maybe, I don't know if they don't show, but I think if there's someone that works really, really hard, it is Nymphia.
100%.
Maybe Nymphia and Q, but I think Nymphia is someone that works hard and maybe stresses a lot about things, and that kind of pushes her to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? It's the whole, like, for me, it's their whole, I think, is it, was it Nymphia that brought it up, or was it another Asian drag queen that said that you, it was Kim Chi.
Yeah.
Kim Chi, that it's all talked about, like, you have to be the perfect Asian. You have to be very...
She literally said that,
she literally said, you have to be good at everything, and mm-hmm. that's why she couldn't live up to it. And I think that there is some of that in Nymphia. In Nymphia.
And how driven.
Yeah, how driven. Yeah. And, like, you know, the stereotype of Asians being, like, you know, the best. That, and they are. They bloody are. but I feel like that pressure... add on top of it, and also the pressure of representing Taiwan, being a mother, and then representing, you know, being that role model for them, and now having to show that she is on this platform. I think that she does have a lot of pressure on her, and that makes her work really hard. So genuinely, maybe she can't do things, but she goes to the hotel room and she just doesn't sleep. She works her ass off. That's what I get from them.
She's very that girl. Because we saw in one of the design challenges, like, she had nothing to show at the end of the day. And then she brought back, like, a full garment the next day. And everyone's like, oh, I see what's going on here. but I think...
She took a sewing machine back to the workroom, back to the hotel.
Oh, no. She hand sewed every bit of it because she's that hardworking. But I really agree with what you say there. And I think she revealed a bit more of that last week, when it was probably the first sort of glimmer of vulnerability we'd seen with Nymphia, when she was like, actually, the I can't do it stuff that has felt quite performative in the workroom, there is a core of truth to it, where I do struggle with my self-belief. So it'll be interesting to see what approach works for the girls, or what they're looking for this week. Are they looking for, like, raw honesty and an interview with some depth, or are they looking for levity and humour? Should we find out?
Well, what's up? Before we find out, what do you look for in an interview with a drag queen?
A combination of those two things, I think. I want to be entertained by an interview with a drag queen.
There it is.
But I also want to find out something about them.
Yeah. Whenever I'm watching something, a drag queen interview, you know, a RuPaul drag queen that they've gone off, whether it be Watch a Packin or anything that's, you know, to talk to me straight, or tell it to me straight.
Yeah, Marty's interviews.
Whenever I watch it, I do want to be entertained. I do want a mixture of, you know, they tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I get to know a bit about you, and can I get to know, like, a bit something else I didn't know about you? Is there something that you can teach me about yourself? Mm-hmm. But also, I want you to, you know, be a bit of an entertainer.
Yeah,
you know, make me smile, make me feel something. I recently saw an interview with Katia and bits of it on TikTok. Katia and Plain Jane, and I'm gonna be honest, it was the weirdest interview I've seen.
The energy was interesting.
It was weird, and I think it was weird because I don't know how I feel about Katia leading an interview, because when you're leading an interview, you're not really the star. They are the star, and so you kind of have to, you know, get comfortable, you know, also, you know, host and be funny, but it's really about them. And I felt like Katia wasn't doing that as much, and so
I agree. Yeah.
I was just like, what's going on here? It was a plane crash.
Katia's a guest. She's not an interviewer. She's a very entertaining guest.
Yes.
Who is great at going off on these fabulous surreal tangents, and that's why she is beloved by the fandom, because that's what she's good at. But in an interview setting, I found that Plain was actually doing more of the work, trying to keep the interview going.
Keep the interview going.
And Katia kept on hopping into these tangents and these jokes, and it wasn't... I almost felt like Plain was, like, mildly irritated, as in kind of like, why am I doing all the work here? This is from the clip I saw. I've seen a couple of clips, not seen the context of the whole interview. I'm sure they love each other and got on like a house on fire. But those clips, in contrast, say, to Maddie Morphosis, who like I saw one with Joey J recently, and she brought out such interesting, Joey J is such an interesting person who's had such an interesting life, and that never came across on Drag Race. And Maddie's just very, very good at bringing that out in people while keeping the humor there. Just a great balance, I think.
Mm. I want to be entertained. I want to learn something a bit more about you. And then there's also this feeling of I need to feel real and not like you're telling me something like not rehearsed. Or I want something that's just honest.
Yeah.
As you know, I want to see the drag queen. I want to see the performer. Mm-hmm. But when you get to see a layer that you haven't seen, that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's what I want to see. Okay, so I think what we're going to do is we've just seen the photo shoots and we're going on to the interviews now. We're just starting the interviews. I think that this is going to be how they judge it.
Yeah.
They're going to look at the photo shoots and they're going to look at the, oh, bless you. Bless you. Tom is vomiting. No, sorry, he's just burping. Which is the same thing.
Thanks for exposing my bodily functions.
So let's have a look at the interviews. We just saw an interview with Plain Jane.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about her photo shoot. What did you think about her photo shoot?
I thought, well, one thing, I really enjoyed the photo shoot segment because Rue was enthusiastically directing. I love seeing Rue do that. I love seeing Rue get in there, connect with the girls, express herself artistically. I did enjoy that a lot. So Plain came in kind of like a lilac ensemble. It was very fairy tale princess, had these kind of paniers, this crinoline, very high glam. Branding was mentioned. Would I see this as a Plain Jane branded look? Not 100%. Felt a little bit different for Plain, actually, but she looked beautiful. And she took the direction really well with a sense of humour. What do you think?
I think this was great. I think she had fun on set.
She did have fun.
She looked amazing.
Yeah.
It was good. That's all you can say about it. It gave me America's Next Top Model vibes.
Ooh.
When Tyra would take a step behind the camera.
I loved
and
that,
go
yeah.
in front of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she would direct him. And she was just the serious photographer that was just amazing.
Are you thinking the same one that I'm thinking of where they just put on like smudgy black eye makeup and she shot them in black and white?
Oh, yeah. Or she put Vaseline on them?
Oh, wow. She just had all the tricks, didn't she?
Or was she put something underneath to make them cry? Was it like, is that like a vapor
like
rub?
Stick thing,
yeah, beneath to make them cry, and
that's just another one of her tortures, really.
You know what's hilarious is one episode where obviously they're doing go-sees and they're showing all of the designers their books, their portfolios, and then one of the designers openly, and I don't know how they left this in because Sarah's a executive producer, but one of the designers were mocking and like looking at one of the photos that Tyra had done and being like, what is this? It was silly. And I just remember laughing because like Tyra's like, you know, she can do everything. She's a talk host. She's got her own show. She's a model, superstar of the world. And then, that was funny. That was really funny. I thought Plain looked lovely. Now, when I go to, for me, the interview is the most crucial thing. The most crucial thing, Tom. I got a lot of energy from her. Her book was Plain Crash, How I Walked Away from Disaster.
It's pronounced Disaster.
Disaster.
As in Princess Disaster.
I thought that she gave a lot of energy. I thought she was entertaining.
I
do think like we learned anything new about her? No. Did we get to a deeper layer? No. But she made me laugh. She kept me interested. I just wish, because we see Plain Jane all the time, I would have loved to see, you know, just Jane. Plain.
Oh.
Jesus. That was a bit deep.
You're getting deep
it?
Now,
girl,
aren't you? Gosh, puns and everything.
I just wanted to see her stripped down. I wanted to see Christina Aguilera stripped. I want her stripped. I want to... You know, the little brief moments that she choreographs for the mirror moments.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a little bit of that, and I think it would have given a more texture to the interview flow and the energy. Yeah.
I thought Plain excelled at the entertainment portion of this, if you like. I would agree with you. They could have gone a little deeper, and what I think was probably missed was because they were talking about essentially, like...
Why you a bitch.
Why you a bitch. But, you know, the compassion behind reading and being blunt with people, where does that come from? It could have been linked back to what we learnt about her experiences with her parents and her grandmother earlier in the season, which they didn't, maybe didn't make the cut. But that link would have been really interesting, I think, because she has spoken a fair bit, really, about coming from a Russian immigrant background and growing up in a quite a tight-knit Russian immigrant community where the communication style is blunt. It's, you know, love is delivered in a blunt way. And that's essentially what she's expressing, I think, by being like a compassionate bitch. She felt, well, at least the way she frames it now, we know at the time it was to grab airtime and camera time, but she framed it now that she was actually helping Amanda. But she spoke about the way her friend helped her as well with this kind of like tough love. So that would have been really interesting. Her look was really similar to her entrance look. Did you notice?
No.
Leopard print, I think the same hair system as well. But great job, Jane.
And she fell, for the whole, if you had to be bluntly honest with your top four, what would it be?
Yeah.
You know, I thought she was going to say something nice.
Oh, no,
I know that you're too beautiful. You're just too talented. You know, like a very pageant. She was like, you're shit. Sophia, you got no charisma. Nymphia, you got no taste. Get a COVID test. Q, your makeup shit. She literally did that. I was just like, okay. Very on brand. Look, I was entertained.
Sorry, I cut you off then. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm used to it, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What I was thinking.
Just remember who controls the editing suite right now.
The editing suite.
I could easily.
It's quite a grand term for your laptop.
Wow. Bola, you're recording on an iPhone.
Yeah.
That is not a suite. Thank you very much.
I was just thinking, with this being so close to the end of the season, is this going to replace Tic Tac Lunches this season? Because it'd feel quite repetitious to have that in two episodes' time.
RuPaul's happy to do less. I mean, she's given Down Under to Michelle.
Oh, I know.
I think she's obviously given this to another another guy here. Yeah, hey, you do the Tic Tac Lunches.
Yeah.
Except we'll make it a book challenge. Now, Safira's photo shoot was just, it was giving me ghetto fabulous.
She looked amazing.
Ghetto superstar.
One thing that I didn't like was the height of the turtleneck. I thought it kind of closed everything up there.
Okay.
But the snakeskin jacket was fabulous.
I liked the hair.
The hair was just amazing, wasn't it?
It was giving me like if Sindel was black.
Or like, has Janet done that look? Like a really long kind of scorpion-y ponytail?
Maybe.
Giving me Janet vibes.
Maybe.
Her and Rue just had a ball, didn't they?
They're like cousins. They're like sisters.
Connects with her.
She likes her.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
She really, really does.
She's lucky. She's one of those girls that Rue has just said, you, I choose to like you this season.
I think it's not, it's just, it's not calculated. I think Rue gravitates towards
energies.
Yeah, and Safira's just got this warmth, this charisma, which I guess brings us on to the interview portion, which I felt that's what, so there's like this ease with which she slipped into like honesty.
Sleuthfoot embracing all of me.
Mm. Yeah.
You're right. I felt like it was very Safira.
Yep.
It was a very easy conversation. It looks like the conversation was easy. Uh-huh. It was easy to listen to. It was very calm.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The humour was kind of like easier and less punchy, say, than in Jane's interview.
The humour.
But it was like this gentle warmth and like this light humour in there. It's not like it was jokes, 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 like with Plain Jane.
Yeah.
It was just like pleasant and nice to listen to.
Mm. So where were the jokes?
Like I said, it wasn't like it was joke, joke, joke. It was just like these little moments of like levity and humor and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That I understand.
Yeah, so please stop misquoting me there.
Where were the jokes?
She spoke really honestly about her relationship with her Nona in particular. I found that really interesting, talking about how, she was this very loving force in her life, but they had quite the journey when it came to accepting Safira's being a gay person. What I found most interesting,
I think that a lot, sorry to cut you off, I think a lot of people go through that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very common thing.
People of the older generation in particular.
Yeah, I love you. I don't like that part because my belief system says it's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But they still love them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very common.
It's complex, isn't it?
And it's very complex.
And Safira's response was to put some space and some boundaries in place, and then to come back and see if the situation was any different, which I thought was a really interesting, and I guess quite mature response to that situation. Really, if you're around somebody who you love, but they're in a situation where, because of their belief system, they're not giving you everything that you need or are making you feel less than, maybe you do just need to put some space in place. And that's not forever. You can come back. You can try again. Because people talk about a lot nowadays, I think, about going no contact or cutting people out. I think there's different ways of approaching that. It doesn't have to be a very black and white situation.
Right.
You could just go like low contact, or like, okay, we're going to have some distance, but I'll be back kind of thing. Right. Let's see where things lie.
Exactly. So what you're saying is that if at first you don't succeed, just dust yourself off and try again.
But it's a very individual decision as well. So if, for example, Safira was feeling like again and again kind of, you know, degraded or whatever by that situation, then maybe it is best just to kind of leave it where it is. But she saw so much value and love in this relationship that she was willing to
exactly
keep giving it another try.
Yeah, exactly. She would just dust it off and try again.
I did get the Aaliyah quote, by the way. I wasn't just...
What quote? Giving you all of me. So I'm sleuthing it right now. I'm embracing all of me and I'm sharing it with you.
Thank you for that.
I love that she was saying things like, I embrace me even when I'm a bitch. I'm like, when are you? What? Excuse you?
Is the bitch in the room with us right now?
Who's this bitch? Where? Then I also felt like the interviewer missed a moment because she said, I embrace the fact that I was homeless once.
Yeah.
As an interview, I would have been like, oh, could you? So you were homeless once. Okay. What led to that? How did you come from that?
We've never heard about that with
Safira. Did that impact your drag? I wanted to learn a bit more.
With this loving family that you have, how did that happen?
But that's just, I'm like, can you? No.
And also, you know, more interestingly, how did you leave that situation? How did you come to be the Safira we know today? I guess, you know, giving them a lot of credit that we've got a 2 minutes here, really. That this probably went on a lot longer and was heavily edited down.
Okay, cool. Maybe they just don't have our skills, Tom?
That's more likely.
Yeah, they don't have our skills. I felt that was a very good interview. I felt it was easy to listen to. I thought it was warm. It was chill. It was, you know, it was nice, chill vibes that I could just sit back and be in like a light, like a ha ha ha, aw, yeah. As opposed to Plain Jane that was just like ha ha ha, but there was no aw. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you. I see you. You know what I mean? Now, Q was giving me like fashion mummy dearest in this cute outfit.
Yeah, we're coming from Aura, whatever happens, baby Jane.
Yes, in the photo. What did you think? I think she was coached well. I think she was giving some lovely angles, but for something, her book was alphabet soup.
Yeah.
Save every bite. Something like that, I would have thought would have been more of a close up with like a, you know, something. It didn't call for a wide shot. I would have gone for a complete close-up because if it's Save Every Bite, Alphabet Q, it's almost like a little towel or giving tips.
Mm.
I think she really wanted to show off the dress, but I thought that would have been more of a close-up type thingy with like a cheeky smirk or like a, something more like Save Every Bite, you know, like take your chance or I don't know. What do you think?
She went in she went in there with a little bit less confidence in the modeling, it seemed, than the other girls, but took the direction really well. I thought the dress was really, really pretty. This kind of really sparkly baby doll affair didn't feel like a Q dress to me for some reason. Like when I think of Q, I think of kind of like a bit more grandiosity, I think fantastical, I think all this creativity.
But this was serious Q telling you about, you know, her deepest secrets and telling, you know, her struggles.
Yeah, but I also think kind of with the pun in the name of the book, would something a bit more literal have worked? Did she have anything graphic with lettering on it? I'd be very surprised if Q doesn't have a Q outfit.
Do you remember what Raven was wearing in her interview?
Yeah, it was like a red high-necked suit.
With this blonde...
I could be wrong.
With this blonde... Mm-hmm. Cleopatra type weave.
She had a blunt fringed blonde bob, I think, yeah.
It wasn't, for me, a Raven look.
It was in the world of Raven. It was severe up in here.
I didn't think so. And she won. I think we can agree
to disagree on that.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, no, I don't really know where you...
don't really know who you are. Let me interview you in your book, Bolo, a fraud.
So is that a segue on to Q's interview?
Her book is Alphabet Soup, mm-hmm. Is it? Alphabet Soup?
Take a bite.
Savor every bite?
Yeah.
You know, when they showed the cover of the book, I didn't like it. I didn't like the cover. It was very, very like, do you remember Word Art, a Microsoft Word?
Yeah.
It was very that. It was just very like, ugh.
I wonder how much input corny. The girls actually had with that, though. Because you remember when they did the Dragazine covers in season 4, Willem has been very open about the fact that they just didn't have the time or the software to execute anybody's vision. I hope it's better now, but...
Oh, they got a budget now. It's whether they want to assign there.
But also, how much input did the girls have? Mm. Because actually, I agree with you here, because Q is an artistic, visual, aesthetic person. That didn't really translate in this book cover. But I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say she did not have much creative control there.
I liked Q in this interview.
Yeah, me too.
I felt like I was getting a real Q. Mm-hmm. The real Q. She was... The way that she was, you know, just having the chat, I felt like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
The connection that I felt really with, you know, it's the classic rags to riches storyline, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think that was really clever for her to talk about that, because I think that a lot of people can relate, and if people can't relate, people are in a position where they would like to believe that that's a possibility for me too.
Yeah.
I'm from where you were from. I see where you are now. I want to be there, and I believe I can be. And I think that's kind of the vibe that maybe many others will get as well.
It's quite inspirational, isn't it?
And the stories that she will tell about, how did you realize that you had less than anyone else? It was like, oh, that is true. It made me realize a lot of the times that she talked about her mom getting her through. I feel like my parents did so much to try not mm-hmm. make it seem.
Yeah.
That way, and so you don't really realize until much later that, oh yeah, actually that happened to mm-hmm. me too. Oh yes, you know, some of the things that she's saying that they had to do, we did that as well. And I'm like, oh, so maybe we were there. Mm. But I think that they try their best to make do with what they have.
Yeah.
And especially for my family, we had a community.
Yes.
When
yes.
she'd say that, sometimes she'll go have, you know, dinner at their grandma's. I'm like, well, we used to go to our cousin's place all the mm-hmm. time for dinner sometimes. Or we'll go up to mum's friends up the road that we called Auntie Lynette. But she was white, so she's definitely not our auntie. But there are times when they would come and have dinner with us. So I felt like, you know, it's just struggling people. We're helping struggling people get by, and it does take a village. And so I liked her story because I could connect to it and I felt like it was real. What did you think?
I don't think I have a lot to add to what you said there. I think
I can't relate. I grew up eating
riding
gold.
Flying ponies and eating gold. I think I really did respect Q's authenticity here, and I could sense a little bit of she's got this thing that happened. Her voice can go really wavery and quivery. And I think that was really noticeable here, because I do think that she didn't have a real level of comfort talking about this, but it was really brave of her, I thought, to actually discuss it. Because I think you would rather project perfection. That is where she feels more comfortable. So, I thought I really respected her here and thought it was really brave of her to talk about.
I like that she also brought it back to the book, and she'll say something, and then she would go, well, yeah, that's why I promote, you know, to savor every bite, because, and I was like, oh, she's getting the berry acai.
She's doing the young broken
fabulous loves treatment. She loves the string, mama. No, I enjoyed her interview. And I've got Nymphia. I think Nymphia just, oh my God, when she walked into that photo shoot with that outfit, oh my, it was, for me, it was game over.
It was over.
I was like, God damn, you've got money and all connections.
You know, there are some expensive looks, but she, I don't know about this one, she's made a lot of her looks herself.
Bloody
I think Nymphia operated within a budget and probably did splurge on a couple of pieces with designers, but this girl is, the work ethic comes into it again that we were talking about earlier. I've said it before with Nymphia, and I'll say it again, the look was fantastic. And what I love about Nymphia is that she can bring different aesthetics, different silhouettes, but it's always Nymphia. She's got this like core essence that never leaves. And this is a very club kid look to me. Those boots are amazing. I feel like we've seen those boots. She's worn them earlier in the season, I think.
Sure.
Amazing. But that bolero, the spiky gold bolero, very B color, but just like fantastic yeah. stuff.
And she posed the house down
when she adopted the Grace Jones Island Life look. Brilliant, beautiful.
Her book cover for me was my favorite as well.
Yes, yeah. It and actually had a sense of restraint and class about it.
It was classy because it was classy.
It's classy.
Even she had the best title, Breaking Wind, The Art of Letting Go.
Very funny, very witty.
I thought it was. I'm like, did she come up with herself? I love it. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of flow, she probably, for me, had the best, because we started off with this ridiculous story that, you know, maybe
I don't think we can repeat it. I think it's unspeakable.
You know what, I am a prude, because I'm pretty, and I'm a pretty kind of girl, and but she went on a second date. It was ghosted because of an incident in the park
involving feces.
Yeah,
like, I'm sorry, I can't sugarcoat it. Please, it is what it is.
I don't think you should.
No.
and it kind of went into that ridiculousness, and then transitioned into a different flow. It changed the energy, and it went into, you know, talking about the infiltration of Western beauty standards, and as an Asian, how she couldn't relate to what was being, you know, promoted to her as what beauty looks like. And God, I was just like, I can relate.
No, come on.
And I think that a lot of people, Asians, you know, Polynesians, I mean, black people, POCs, I think we can all relate, because it is huge, this Western influence.
Yeah.
This is what a hot man looks like. This is what a woman should look like. This is the waist size of a beautiful lady. This is the hair color of, you know, a beauty.
Yeah.
And then you look in the mirror and you're like, well, I don't look like that at all. I really don't. And I think it's nice for her to talk about that, to bring that up.
Definitely. It's very important to talk about it, I think.
And how drag helped her, you know, find her confidence, how she's kind of slowly letting go of that.
One thing I thought that was important, that actually I think the interviewer did a really good job in highlighting, was kind of how it's a double-edged sword, the almost retreat into drag, because yes, it grants her a confidence and grants her access to a confidence that she couldn't before. However, it is also, it could become a crutch or a mask where one relies upon it rather than developing one's own sense of self-worth, self-esteem, value, beauty, all those things. But then Nymphia goes on to explain it's a process, which I was really happy to hear. She does. She still struggles, clearly, but there are days when she feels more confident with Nymphia the person and looking into the mirror, you know, barefaced, and not relying on Nymphia the drag character to bring that out.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it was nice. We got vulnerable with her.
She did a great job.
We got high with her.
Mm-hmm.
She was charming.
She was.
She was charming throughout all of it.
I was really impressed with Infir, actually. She exceeded my expectations.
It was a beautiful storytelling. And it was real.
Mm-hmm.
It was just real. It was real. And people can relate. There's things like, I don't think people realize the impact of Western culture on the world. I mean, it's hard not to fall victim to it. And I think even white people fall victim to it as well. It's not just everyone. I remember when Disney finally put out Moana,
yeah,
which was the first Polynesian Disney princess. And I remember my nieces just being like, how wild they were.
Yeah.
That they were in the movies, that they were on Disney.
Yeah.
And they wanted to watch it over and over again and to hear our national tongue, our tongue.
Yeah.
Our language and the music being embraced in the Disney world. It was so impactful. And I couldn't, I'm like, okay, cool. But I remember them just being like, wow, they were just so, they felt seen. And I think that's the beginning of them accepting themselves. And I think that more and more of this needs to be, let me say, I'm loving on Netflix nowadays how we're getting so much more, especially the Korean TV on there, that have only the Korean casts are there. And then we're seeing things like, there's just more programming that's being shown to us from a Western platform.
Yeah.
And I think that people seeing that now is getting exposed to different bodies and different faces and different people. And I think this is the kind of stuff that I wish I had growing up.
This is why representation matters in the media.
Yeah, Tom, this is also why in the media it's important to be represented.
I just loved what you were saying about your nieces and how you could connect to that as well.
Yeah, there was. I think people will just say, because I didn't think it was like they're going to be that. I didn't think when things like Pocahontas, that's quite controversial. But when Pocahontas came out, I'm pretty sure that maybe there people who could felt seen saw themselves.
Probably an interesting example, that, isn't it?
Mulan as well. When Mulan came out, I wonder how they felt, because I know that
the 90s and the early noughties were probably a really interesting and complex time in terms of representation, weren't they? Because things were walking a line, I think, between appropriation and representation. So to my mind, I would have seen that as, there are pros and cons to movies like, for example, Pocahontas.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think by the time Moana came out, they figured it out. they were like,
I'm glad to
maybe,
hear that.
Maybe we should consult some Polynesians process.
You can speak authentically on it as a Polynesian person.
I love it.
And so you consider Moana, I know you do, but I'm just kind of asking the question, you consider Moana to be a good representation and an authentic piece of media.
I do. I like it, the family. I also love the grammar. I love that they kept the Polynesian accent in some of the music as well, because I hear my grandma, I hear my auntie, I hear my ancestors through the music, and they didn't get rid of the accent. They kept it and makes it more real.
Yeah.
And it tells everyone, especially the young ones, that it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I liked it. Nymphia, this was a great interview. Talk to me about fashion, Tom. The looks. I think the category is fans, yeah?
Fandango.
It's fans.
Fandango.
It's fans.
Only fans?
Q. Yeah, they should have just said the category is only fans. Fans.
They missed that one, didn't they? So Q walks out in this lovely bright orange tutu with...
Come on, tutu, tulle.
Tutu, tulle. Well, not very much tulle, but no certainly tool, no tool, structure in the skirt from the fans, which have also been incorporated into the bodice. So it's a lovely take on it. Slightly unfortunate that it just reminds me a lot of Safira's look from last week, just because the vivid, but obviously it's very different. But there we go. I think the other thing is that the back piece is clearly supposed to be standing up. Q loves a big grandiose collar up above. Something's happened in the structure of this, means it's drooping a bit at the back, which, you know, obviously these girls are bringing their costumes from hundreds of miles away. These things happen. But overall, she looks really, really gorgeous. Great job, Q.
Yeah, it's going to be Origami Ballet.
Very origami, isn't it?
I love it.
Yeah.
Safira.
Love this so much. I love the drama in this. So she decided to go for more traditional African elements with the fans and the prints. And then there's this really dramatic fan moment with the fans coming out at the sides, which is really, really fabulous. And she mentions the designer who inspired it, Roberto Cappucci. I don't know a lot about Roberto Cappucci, but I can picture the dress with these dramatic side fan elements. So really, really beautiful. Love the hair, love the makeup. Just love her poise on the runway.
Oh, she is poised, Tom. Mm. It was funny because it was a reveal in a way, the Roberto fan look.
Cappucci,
and as she's walking down, I was saying, oh, look, you can't just be holding a fan and expect, and literally halfway through me saying that, she goes, Paolo, shut up.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth, because then bam.
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 Bam. The fans came out, and I was like, I literally was like, okay, queen, yes, queen in the building, I bow to thee, I apologize. Well, it's a lovely look.
Saphira never disappoints.
No. Neither does Saphira. Sorry, neither does Nymphia. No,
she never does.
Tom, that was a bad transition that I did there.
Do you want to re-edit that or leave it in? Because you're vulnerable and you're real.
I think people need to see the side of me.
I know.
I think people need to see, you know, Paolo is not always perfect. That he can
believe
stumble.
Believe it or not.
He can come third place in a competition.
Let's. Do we have time to get into that?
No. I don't want to unpack this. This is going.
It's less about the time, more about the emotional fallout. But Nymphia looks beautiful. So she's gone for this Marie Antoinette 18th century robe française inspired look. I just love the intricacy and the delicate details when you look at the fabric. The fans are basically making the panniers, which is really, really cool. And obviously we all associate Marie Antoinette with the fans, don't we, and the courtesans and everything. The silhouette, obviously, is a shortened version, which puts me in mind of Jeremy Scott from Moschino with that very famous Marie Antoinette-inspired kind of candy-coloured collection. But she looks absolutely beautiful, just detail, workmanship, elegance. She was also, I loved her performance as well. Probably could have done without the fire crotch reveal. But, you know, little touch of humour.
Little touch of nymph.
Yes.
What about Miss Plain?
Plain looks really, really beautiful. This is different for Plain because she's gone for kind of elegance over sex here, I think. But there is a bit of sex when you look at the bodice and the bosoms and the nipples. That, to me, is very reminiscent of that Vivian Westwood dress. I forget which year, but I can picture Linda Evangelista wearing it. Just this gorgeous crystal bodice with the breast details with the nipples and everything. Really, really beautiful. Giving very Greco-Roman goddess. She's every inch Aphrodite, Hera. Very, very beautiful. Love the big curly blonde hair. And just the gentle swathes of what's the word for it? So the word escapes me now, but just like, the pleats, the pleated, gentle sort of organza or tulle or whatever it is. Really lovely, ethereal, which is not something I associate with plain Jane. So I'm glad to see it.
This is probably my favorite look of hers and my favorite right now on the runway.
Beautiful and different.
It was actually was dipped in gold. And glitter and diamonds. She just looks expensive. She looks amazing. I love this look.
It's
I love
Benny
this
Henny.
Look. My favorite look is plain Jane on the runway. What about you?
I think Saphira.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they all look really, really good. This is going to be a really hard episode to judge.
Is someone going home?
I've told you that my gut instinct is because they've got another episode. This isn't the finale. I feel like it could be a top three, but I don't know.
Really?
Could
Do you
be.
Think someone's going home tonight?
I think it'd be good to proceed with a top four based on everybody's performances here today, but I think we need to judge a winner and who could be in the bottom.
Okay, the winner this week is... I don't know.
I'm going to tell you who I think it is. Okay. I think it's Nymphia, because she presented the most unexpected. She revealed the most about herself. She did it in a way that was humorous. I think they all did such a great job in the interviews. I really do. But I just think, real frog in my throat. Yeah. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Ribbit. I just think Nymphia did such an unexpectedly good job for me.
Okay.
And so her looks have been flawless all episode.
Yeah, I think, and also, in terms of interview, I think, yes, for Nymphia, but I also think, yes, for Saphira and Q. It was just, I felt like maybe playing Jane, I didn't learn anything new, and I just wish we could have gone a bit, like, realer, something,
you could argue that honest. With playing.
So maybe with playing Jane in terms of the interview, I'd put her on the bottom.
Do you know, I'll chuck in another thing that feels nitpicky, but we've got to do what we can here. Q's cover was my least favourite.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, they are going to judge them both, aren't they?
They are. Well, they did in the original version.
I think that the two safe ones, because of the photo shoot and because of the interview, are Saphira and Nymphia.
Does that how it feel then? We've got two girls who are safe and two girls who are unsafe.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's how we'll do it. Congratulations, Nymphia!
Yep, fantastic. So three wins for Nymphia, and she proceeds to the finale along with Saphira.
Saphira.
So there is a bottom two this week, and it is Plain and Q.
I mean, do you think someone's going home?
I have this feeling in my waters it's going to be a top three, but obviously I wouldn't be mad about a top four.
Okay.
It'd be really different to have a top three. Rue said she was going to do it last season, but couldn't commit.
Mm.
You know, she loves edging these queens, doesn't she? So it's Tina Turner's Better Be Good to Me. Fantastic song. I think a somewhat challenging lip sync song because it's got like a mid-tempo quality, but there are some good emotional moments in there.
Okay.
So Q, Plain, who drew your eye? What did you think?
I thought it was a pleasant lip sync. It was pleasant lip sync. I don't think anyone really found a Tina soul and spirit. I wonder if they couldn't, you know, I didn't.
Oh, I do get that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the you know, the ugh of Tina. I didn't
imagine if Saphira had been doing this song. I think she would have found Tina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Q and Plain possibly aren't the girls to find Tina.
Finding Tina, my new book.
Morphine would have found Tina, by the way.
I think that they were both, you know, okay. You know what? It was a chill lip sync. Maybe the song was chill.
It's got a mid-tempo quality to it. Yeah, this one, I think, is actually quite challenging.
Yeah, it was just real chill. They both got equal air time, so that's what I was thinking. Maybe it's a double save. Maybe it's another edge, but if I had to choose a winner, it would be Plain Jane, maybe because I couldn't decide from this lip sync. I do feel like Q gave a bit more, to be honest. I think
Q was giving
a bit more. She was giving like travel. She was giving like, yeah. But I think Plain Jane gave little bits.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, but I think for me at a club, I would have been tipping Q a bit more than I would have been Plain Jane. So if it was just in the sort of thing, maybe I would have given it to Q. But I think that Plain Jane's thing.
Q always gives it 100%, and she did this lip sync. I just thought Plain found more moments to show a bit of more emotion and to be a bit more humorous.
Oh, so there's actually an elimination?
Yeah.
So Q, Q's been sent home. The whole time I was waiting for a, you know, a Candy Muse moment. Like, wait, turn around, I'm joking. But then she made it all the way to the workroom. And I was like, oh shit, she's actually gone home.
The production kept on tricking us into thinking that would happen as well. And you could see the moment where hope of that happening evaporates from Q's heart. And I've really felt sad for her in that moment. There's a bit where she's still got hope in her eyes.
Yes.
And then she looks up to the heavens when Rue's like, finally, sashay away. And I can't think of another queen who's wanted it as much as Q.
I'm shocked.
And so I really, really felt for her.
We did say very, very early on this podcasting season that Q, the way that she was responding to people on social media was giving us, she didn't make finale.
Specifically the phrase, booger wolf cashew faced bitch.
You just don't talk like that when
he's still in contention.
Exactly, yeah. When the power is in the voice of the people. So there's a top three. And next week there's a Lollapalooza lip sync. Can you believe it? We've got Mirage, we've got Maya, we got Morphine, we've got a mandatory meeting. I can't wait.
Geneva Carr.
Megami.
Oh my god, Megami's gonna kill it.
Megami's gonna kill it.
Because as we've seen since she's gone, she would have killed every single episode.
Absolutely. She is the one mama. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for all of the shout outs and for reaching out. Make sure you do so. Make sure to join us next week for the Lollipop Bruiser. This is Bowler
and Dr. Tom.
See you guys soon.
Lots of love, guys. See you soon.